Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. I'm glad you're listening today. After the half hour, you can call with your questions. You can get a confirmation, maybe a little bit more of your map or some guidance. The number is 646-716-9663. Today, I'm privileged to have with us our guest, Sandra Sweetman, who resides in Hong Kong. Hi, Sandra. How you doing there?
Hi, I'm doing great, Star. Great to be with you today.
Sandra, could you tell us about your spiritual path and what led you to become a master teacher? Your background a little bit so we can know you a little bit better.
Certainly. I've been intuitive all my life. It was something that I grew up with in terms of being able to connect with people who had left this planet, things like that. It was kind of a family trait. We used to joke about it. And after, you know, my teens, I really worked very hard to be, quote, normal. And so I became a physical therapist. You can't get more physical than that. Although my interest in metaphysics was always there. And then it was actually in my early 40s that I started to get more interested in energy work in terms of modalities like Reiki and therapeutic touch. And I found myself falling back much more into the natural me. And through that, I learned different techniques and went and joined ICEM, which is the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine. And it was during one of those times that I started to remember various techniques that I knew how to do. And that brought me to develop an energy protocol for people to clear their own energy fields, and it was at one of those that I met Jerry Pegden. I was presenting one of my seminars, and he was talking about light language. And I sat down, and it was all this information was coming to me, and it was so strong that during the coffee break, I felt I had to go over and kind of say, you know, Jerry, I feel like all this stuff is coming, and you know, it was kind of like, you know, I was getting something extra here, and I felt embarrassed that I was getting so much stuff. And, you know, Jerry being Jerry put his arm around me and said, Sandra, that's how it's done. It's a caught teaching. And at the end of his introductory talk, he said, and here's the computer program. This is what a grid looks like. And I looked at that, and a voice in my head said, Sandra, you'll become a teacher. And I have to admit, Star, that when I heard that voice say, Sandra, you'll become a teacher, I said, gee, you know, now I got to take all those courses and everything. Anyway, a few years later, I found myself teaching light language. And light language has really been a great propellant. I want to call it a catalyst in terms of my personal growth, to expand, to grow, and, of course, to meet you, Star, and attend your wonderful seminars and also study with you.
Thank you. Now tell me, how is it being a teacher, a metaphysical teacher, in Hong Kong? And how are the people there? How do they take it? And I know you teach in Japan and Canada and all over the world, but how are they with that? And do they love it? Do they slowly grow into it? Tell us a little bit about your relationships with your clients and Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hong Kong is a very interesting place. You know, it's, first of all, the city that never sleeps. So forget about regular hours. You have to be used to the fact that people will send you a text message at midnight. They'll send you one at, you know, 10 p.m. because that's how it works. And so you have to get used to their schedule. They're most of the people here are night owls, and you know, once I stay here, I get into the night owl grid. That happens. So that's the first thing you have to understand. The second thing is the culture here is that you are introduced. So if I was to just knock on doors and say, you know, I want to teach light language, I want to do, you know, whatever, chances are most doors would be closed to you. As the universe brings you, and this is what I find is the biggest asset for me, is to simply allow. As I allow the universe to bring me the people to introduce me, and these are introductions rather than promoters, I find that once people say, hey, this is Sandra, she is, you know, the door then opens. Now, the advantage of being in Hong Kong versus somewhere else is that here, people are used to metaphysics in that, in terms of talking about energy, because, you know, there's Tai Chi, Qigong, they already understand energy. And most people have a concept of past lives. So you aren't having to get through that, you know, to that level of belief system. That's already there. The part that is challenging is people very often want proof, you know, they want to see the results first. And so it's a matter of getting through to people for them to understand that, you know, it's believing that's seeing instead of seeing as believing. So I enjoy the dance, and that's what I see it as. I see it as a journey, as a dance, and I watch it unfold.
Sandra, what was the most spiritual awakening event you've had this lifetime? Can you share that with us?
Oh, my goodness. What was the most spiritual awakening?
You know, the biggest aha
was actually back in 95, where it was after I had done a meditation. And it was during my Reiki master training, we were asked to meditate on the master symbol. And when I did that, what happened was I saw my body as pixels. And every single master symbol was in gold in every cell of my body. And that was an awakening moment of our spirit within ourselves. And there was this amazing feeling of, the only word I can use is understanding. It's an understanding of our connection to Source, how it is within all of us. Whereas I think most of us grow up with the feeling that that's something outside that we try to attain or try to achieve.
That is an amazing incident, and when people get that type of understanding that everything is energy and that we're connected to everything and everything else is energy and we have it all inside, it's a great moment for them. So tell us, what is your website?
My website is mydivine, D-I-V-I-N-E, blueprint.com.
Well, thank you. So, Sandra, I got to ask you a couple of very personal questions here. What is your personal biggest obstacle? What gets in your way the most? Like for a while with me, it was patience and then judgment. What gets in your way in your path as you continue growing?
I would say the first one is judgment. My biggest shadow aspect is I'm very quick to make an opinion, and I have learned when this opinion forms, I listen to it and go, wait a minute, just take a moment here and, you know, wait. For example, one time there was a man I was sitting next to on a plane, and he had I asked him, you know, he started telling me about himself, and he said he was a hunter. And immediately, because I have a thing about hunting for hunting's sake, I found myself bristle up. And then this voice said, hold on, you know, stop judging. So I stopped and I continued talking, and he was the most amazing person. He had had incredible experiences like falling from a high hydro tower and spontaneously healing himself. And he said he only ever killed one animal a year and spent most of his time helping animals who were trapped. You know, I learned all these things about him that I wouldn't have learned if I had allowed my judgment to prevail.
Yes, that's very good that you're aware of that. Many of us have certain things that sit right dead center of our path, and we grow and we go through a cycle, and there it is again at a different level. And we grow some more, and we go through another cycle or another learning period, and there the same thing is. It's like a cosmic onion. Your gifts will show up over and over again, and the areas that you have to work will show up over and over again. So, Sandra, you do have private sessions, correct?
Yes, I do.
Could you tell us a little bit about what happens in your private sessions?
Mm-hmm. What happens in the private sessions is that whatever is of importance for that client is what comes up to be cleared and healed. So I simply listen intuitively, and some people may come with an idea that, oh, you know, Sandra, I need to see you because of this. And within, you know, 5 minutes of the session, they discover, oh, there's this whole other side and this whole other obstacle in the way. So it's about seeing, you know, as you said, of, you know, what's your biggest obstacle? It's about working on what's in the way of this person getting to the next level, whether it's the next level of their physical healing journey, their emotional crisis that they're going through, or their development and expansion into their greater magnificent self.
Well, I like doing my own personal consultations with people, and I have many adventures with spirit and some adventures with people and some misadventures, too. So consultations are always very interesting, and it's like you never know what's going to show up next, whether
exactly.
It's an exorcism or cancer healing or somebody with a broken fingernail. So it really keeps me aware and moving in different directions. If you had one important thing to say to people about their spiritual growth or a particular rule or law that you think most people need, what would that be?
I would say for them to start being their best friend. Most of the people that come to see me, I find they're unaware of how they judge themselves, how they belittle themselves, and how they're impatient with their growth. And they might be looking for some formal, you know, flavor of spirituality. As we trust ourselves, as we develop our own sense of it, you know, then the world is such a magical place.
It is, isn't it? And, you know, it's many, many times, even though I thought I knew where I was going, I've always asked outside myself for confirmation, because sometimes your thoughts will tell you, this is the deal, your guides will confirm it, et cetera, et cetera. And you really need somebody in a physical body to say, whoa, hold back there. Have you thought about A, B, and C, or, you know? And many, many spiritual people, unfortunately, they treat other people better than they treat themselves. They're always rescuing. They're always healing. And they don't treat themselves very well. So I think this is a very, very good point. Sandra, are you writing a book yet?
Oh, Star, I've been not writing a book since 1995. I now say that because it's so slow to come. Actually, I think one of my problems is this kind of ADD thing when it comes to writing a book. I have, you know, five titles that I do at once. Yes, there definitely is, you know, are three books in the making. I actually, one thing that is waiting to be published is a completely different sideline, which is all about dragons, one of my favorite creatures, dragons, and that is presented as nonfiction, and so I'm looking forward to that coming out. And the other books I'm working on is, you know, I consider myself an everyday intuitive. I use my intuition every day. It's what guides me. And what I would like to do is to share that with people on how this can be such an asset instead of it being something that we fear or we dread.
I know many, many spiritual, psychic, empathic people have fought for years and years and years and years and lied through their teeth to be normal, and now, you know, two decades later, they're paying for classes and reading books to get back what they had and gave away. So I think something like the Everyday Intuitive would be a great tool for people to use in their life. There's a lot of dragon magic in China. I mean, people, the way the dragon lays is where you build your house, and all sorts of different color dragons and types of dragons. Have you just eaten up all their stories and theories and stuff being over in Hong Kong? Has it just delighted you to get all that information?
Absolutely. And also, you know, Kowloon, Kowloon means nine dragons. So dragon energy is very, very prevalent here. And what we would like to do is to present the friendly side of dragons instead of them being, you know, to me, they've been misrepresented many a time in many a book. And to have this wonderful energy, which is such a benevolent consciousness, that's what I'd like to tell people about.
Well, you know, I've always seen the dragon is burning out the impurities instead of setting you on fire, you know, where people go, oh, my God, you know, the dragon's going to set me on fire. And one of the things that still sticks out in my mind about being in Hong Kong was Kuan Yin, and how all the statues of Kuan Yin had holes drilled into their ears, and all the Kuan Yins sat on a dragon. Because you tell Kuan Yin, you tell Kuan Yin your problems, and she gets on her dragon and rides out and helps fight with you or ride with you along the path of your challenges. So that's been interesting. You know, dragons are like this myth that we know, all of us know intuitively. At one point in time, they were real. But now they're in spirit. And either we say, okay, I don't want to deal with that, or we become very interested in the dragon. And so many science fiction authors have had friendly dragons, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or dragons that were their deepest companion, or they went to fight a dragon. And basically every time I see a tale about somebody going to fight or slay a dragon, I think that is a tale about our own dragons that we have in ourselves. Part of ourselves we call enemy, which really is a friend and teacher to us. Being in Hong Kong, meeting many Chinese hold gemstones and pearls and many objects sacred. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, the one that comes to mind most is jade. People wear jade for prosperity. They wear it for good health. And you will see even men wearing bracelets with crystals because they understand the energy of crystals. Now, sometimes it's because they feel this is the only way they'll get wealthy, you know, so it's kind of wealth-oriented. And that actually, I feel, is a small minority. You know, most people wear them. They understand the energy of crystals to bring you various, you know, different forms of healing. And I actually know a wonderful couple who have a crystal shop where really it's like going into this place to find all these wonderful gems that will assist you on, you know, wherever your path is taking you. It's like, okay, here's a companion that will assist me along my path.
And
I actually...
It's really interesting how important Chinese people find lineage. Like there'll be a piece of the jade or something in the family for 22 years and how they still talk to their ancestors and how important lineage is in that society. Do you have anything to share about that?
Yes, society really here looks upon lineage with reverence. You know, there is this, they really honor their ancestors. And so when I'm talking to them about, you know, when they're clearing something, they could be clearing for their ancestors as well, that's an easy concept for them to grasp. And again, on the other side, the flip side of the coin is when you're challenging something where, you know, your lineage is, you know, the family has always done this, and you find you want to do something different, breaking out of that mold can be challenging because of the familial expectations.
So, you know, old people are definitely sacred, and Chinese people always ask for wisdom of their elders, and here in our country, we kind of like put them in a nursing home. Not all of us. I know many, many a person who, when their parents have gotten sick, they moved them in and gave up part of their life to take care of them. But in general, the elderly are kind of sacred in China. And does that, do you find that very comforting?
Yes, the part that is, you know, we're beginning to see because of this Western influence is that, you know, that is, before that was a given, and now there's another influence where, you know, some elderly aren't taken care of. And so society is now having to provide for them where their families would have provided for them, you know, before. I think one of the reasons for that also is families have gotten smaller. You know, before there was, you know, one brother didn't do it, another brother would, because typically the you know, parents would stay with the son in the family as opposed to the daughter. Nowadays, hey, if you only have one kid and the kid has gone abroad, what do you, you know, who looks after that parent? So, you know, I'm seeing a shift in that energy.
And what is the biggest changes in Hong Kong and China that you're seeing? What, you know, you've been there, what, over a decade?
Yes, actually, I grew up here. I'm not sure if you're aware. I came when I was 3 years old and lived here for 14 years.
I'm remembering now. What are you seeing as the biggest changes now in there?
The positive change I see is that people are stepping into more of themselves, into more of their mastery, understanding that that's okay to do. It's okay for them to follow their own destiny versus having somebody else map out their lives for them. So that I see in the positive part. In the part that is something that people are understanding isn't getting them where they want is this terrible drive with competition. You know, kids of two going to a nursery school need a resume to get into the school, you know, and this drive for, you know, being the best and having the biggest toys and the most material goods. And now it's kind of like I already see the wake-up call of, you know, this isn't working. The kids are too stressed. The parents are stressed. So there's all this stress and pressure. And now they're looking for something to, you know, to do that will bring them success without that, you know, terrible price they pay to get that, what they consider success.
Now, recently over here, it seems that the wealthier of my clients are investing in experiences instead of having that $50,000 boat or having that, you know, extra house. They're investing, like going on a 2-3 week trip to Machu Picchu. They're investing in experiences, and I think that's a very good place for the Americans to be. The place I'm not liking is everybody's on their cell phone, everybody's on Facebook, everybody's texting, and they go to the restaurant and there's people eating and you look up and you see 7 people on the phone and they're sitting there with other people. And, you know, that to me is, you know, and I actually had 2 kids over at my house with their parents and they were texting each other. And they were in the same room.
I know.
You know, so is that whole technological thing taking root there? And is that, you know, the world grid coming together in a second through the telephones? happening there?
Oh, yes, more so, because here you can even text on the subway. You know, you can text in an elevator. And so I see that. I see kids sitting at a table and they're texting each other. And I'm thinking, you know, hey, I come from the generation where you looked at someone and, you know, you talk to them directly. You know, the part of me that goes, oh, my goodness, why don't you talk to each other? I then have to remind myself they are. They're simply using a different form of communication. And I find sometimes when they do that, they're actually more comfortable being more authentic. Because there's that little bit of distance, and so they're more likely to text something and say something to a friend that they might be embarrassed or shy about saying to their face. So that's the plus part of it.
Well, you know, it's practice for when we all get to be psychic, for the, you know, the mm-hmm. worldwide grid, when our thoughts can be read. I mean, maybe not when I'm alive, but you know, we're just a click away from any place in the world. Turn on our phone, we can be any place, watching the news, talking to somebody, any place in the world right now, and wherever there is equipment, and their equipment is everywhere. So we are connected to more people in more different ways than we ever have been on this planet. So that's kind of an interesting place to be. What else do you have to share with us about being in the Orient and being spiritual? What else is there?
It was interesting what you said about, you know, how we can connect with anyone anywhere. One of the things that I'm working on here is just on Saturday I had a corporate seminar. And although everybody's talking, you know, they all go out to lunch together, they do things together a lot more than, you know, you might see in North America, the level of connection can be very superficial. And so it's about mindful connection. And that's where I see a shift. People are looking for that connection at a deeper level, and being able to be more intimate in a caring level, as opposed to the protocol of, you know, this is the way one's supposed to be, this is the general polite saying, you know, all that, what I call being polite, and not encouraging people to be impolite or rude, but rather, okay, stretch a little bit further, seek to understand, and as that happens, you know, the unit becomes more cohesive, and then the business becomes more cohesive, and they get to see different results. So I'm very happy to see this spiritual movement going on in a very, very corporate setting, which traditionally in the past, you know, there hasn't been too much spirituality in that department.
Well, you know, they're learning that it's important to communicate. It's important to be accountable, responsible. It's important to know which way the team's going to go, you know. If someone has an issue around one thing, they might move a little slower, and someone doesn't, they might move a little faster. And intimacy is major, major important part of everybody's life. So we all need to work on that. And, you know, the pendulum swings out. We're all talking on the phone with each other, and when the pendulum swings in, we'll be talking heart to heart. So it's good to see that, and good to know that businesses are accepting spirituality more. If you had mm-hmm. one important thing to say to people that they need to do or be on their spiritual path, what would that be?
I would say slow down, because most people I come across are racing forward, you know, to their perceived destination. And as they slow down, so much more is revealed. And as they accept the rate that works for them to grow, as opposed to looking at a neighbor or a colleague or, you know, another therapist or, you know, so-and-so, as they allow themselves to blossom at the rate that works for them, you get this beautiful flower unfolding.
Well, that is important. After the break, we'll be back with phone calls. So the number is 646-716-9663. And coming up to our break right now.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
The number is 646-716-9663. Mark, do we have any callers online?
Yes, we do. Let's go ahead and bring in Trish. Trish, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Trish. What is your question?
Well, my question is, I have a real estate delay, and I was looking for some advice as to how to clear it and or, you know, when you thought it might clear.
Okay, Sandra, do you want to start?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question. If you could repeat, there's an echo on the line I'm getting right now. Mm-hmm.
Sure. The question was, I have a real estate delay, and I was wondering, I was looking for some advice as to when it might clear or advice as to how I may expedite it being resolved.
Okay, my answer for this is to look at some questions and ask yourself these questions. In order for something to manifest into the physical, I have discovered that these things have to be clear. The first thing you want to ask yourself is, am I choosing this 100%? Your brain may be saying yes, and you may find that, oh, there's a part of me that is, you know, doesn't really want this to happen. So that's the first question. The second one is, am I allowing it? Because choosing it and allowing it are two different things. And working through and clearing that till it's 100%. The third thing is, do I believe this can happen? Is this possible? If we have a skeptical part that says, nah, that's never going to happen, that's an obstacle that we put in our way. And the fourth one is, do I believe this will happen? Now, that doesn't have to be 100. The tipping point for that is around 7.5, I've found. Because it's okay that we don't believe something will positively happen until we actually see it. However, there is that level of belief, of credibility that we have to have before the energy actually comes in. And the final one is, do I believe I'm worth it that this will happen to me? Because you could have all those positive and then a lack of self-worth that I actually deserve this to happen. So that's what I recommend you look at, is look at those things.
Okay, and I am seeing that you have a resentment about some paperwork around the property. Do you?
Yeah, I have some resentment because of all the delays, correct.
Okay, and what would it take for you to wipe that slate clean and start off with tomorrow being the first day of selling it and tomorrow being a clear slate? Could you do that in your mind, do some exercises to do that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I could do it. It involves neighbors, so I think in order to do it right, I'd have to put in my mind that I have a clear slate with the neighbor, correct?
Correct. And you need to forgive yourself and forgive your neighbor for being involved in whatever the situation, incident, drama and trauma has been. Because once you can forgive yourself and your neighbor, whether you talk to your neighbor or not, it will clear the site.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you.
If you do that, it will be within the 2 months. Mm-hmm. If you don't, it will be next year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring on Melissa.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. What is your question?
I would like to know if you could tell me anything I need to know about my current relationship, romantic relationship.
Sandra?
you aren't listening. What I'm getting is you aren't listening to all of yourself. It's kind of like you're looking at one aspect and aren't listening to all of yourself. A way you can get to listen to all of yourself without, you know, by what I call taking the duct tape off the mouth of this part, is to put your hand over your heart, your right hand, with your thumb in that little dip in between your collarbones, and listen there, because there's some very, very valuable information that you've been trying to tell yourself that you haven't been listening to yet.
Jay, and who's pulling the reins back? You or the other person?
I am.
Okay, so let go. You deserve this relationship. You've overweighted this lifetime. You're overcautious. You've had some learning experiences in the past, and this will be a harmony experience for you. Jump on it. Let go of the reins and proceed. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go on, and we're going to bring in Sheila.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, honey. What's
Sheila?
Your question? Oh, I can't hear her.
No, I don't hear her either.
Okay.
All right, I'll pull her.
Let's go to the next person.
Okay. All right. Lynn, you're on.
Yes, hi. Can you give me some guidance how to keep my spiritual and physical life in better shape?
Keep them what?
Keep it in a better shape, better than what
shape.
It is now.
Okay, Sandra. Are you there?
Make more time for this in terms of you getting in alignment, because I see you going to a spiritual part of yourself and then, you know, jumping into your mental aspect and jumping into the physical. As you set aside a time, even if it's only 5 minutes in a day, and build on that 5 minutes of, I'm allowing myself to collect myself wherever I am, whether I'm forging ahead on some project, I'm thinking about the past, I'm bringing myself to now, and I'm listening to me as one unit now. It doesn't require, you know, several different methods of meditation, mantras, whatever. That simple, I'm giving this time to me to come together to me. And one of the visuals that helps is imagining, like, you know, you've exploded into a gazillion pieces and you're pressing the rewind button and you're, all those pieces are coming back into you. As you hold that visual, as you hold that feeling, that is the first step in getting more aligned.
Okay.
And I do strange and weird things. So my touching my toes is for my spirit guides, and they get more full of energy and more intimate with me. And my angels have anything to do with my arms, and their wings get brighter colors. My angels and my spirit guides support me all day long. When I move my physical body to do whatever exercises I do, I connect them as being beneficial to them. So when I only want to do 10 toe touches, I'll do a 20 because I feel my guides need that extra energy. So I have a little system. When I'm working with my physical body, it affects and aids my spiritual helpers. And when I'm working with my spiritual energies, that my physical body gets invigorated with spirit. It doesn't mean that I don't do my toe touches or that I don't do my meditation. Both of them are spiritual.
Okay.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you.
All righty. I got to make sure I'm not muted there. Okay. Let's go ahead and bring on Steve from New York.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Steve. How are you, honey?
Well, I've hit a wall. I've basically hit a big wall, and if it's too complicated to talk about on the broadcast, I'll talk to you in private.
Okay.
But
so
I've
what is your question,
wall.
Baby?
Nothing is working at all. It's been really miserable. It's been really miserable. It's like, you know, everything I've worked for in my life has crumbled, you know?
Okay, Sandra?
I'm getting, Steve, that it might be helpful to send you an answer that your brain isn't going to fight because it sounds. So are you game for that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm game for anything that'll work.
Okay, so all that, it'd be helpful if you have your hands crossed right now to uncross your arms and have both legs, great, and your feet on the floor. Okay, here's a song that's going to get to you at a different level.
I'm sure Star's
got an answer.
Does that feel better, Stig?
It feels better, but I want my life to be better. That's
okay, I'll send some magic and energy, and you pick yourself up, and you dust yourself off, and be positive, and things will start to work out for you.
Okay, I love you both. Thank you so much, Star.
Thank you, Stig. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I'm just searching for one other one here. Okay. Sheila?
Hi there.
Hi, what's your question tonight?
Hi. I'm beginning a new novel about witches and in the past life and healing and bullying. And my question is I've been taking notes for several months, and I'm trying to start. This will be the third manuscript that I've written, but I'm trying to get started. And is there any guidance from Spirit?
Sandra?
Hello?
Sandra?
Hello? Yes, I'm here. The thing I'm seeing is that great big check mark, yes. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Be it, be it, be it, be it. Okay, so there's a part of you that's been waiting for the right moment, the right approach, the right whatever. It's, you know what Star said earlier about wiping the slate clean to someone else? Begin, you know, it's not even begin each day anew, it's begin each moment anew. So you're starting here anew without all the history of whatever other manuscripts, you know, what has happened, what hasn't happened. Start now, start. We're all excited about this. Start now.
Yeah. You know, for me, having thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, being in this business for 50 years, there's one story that saves true over and over again. The children have the powers. The children are able to do and be things. There's this long struggle and fight to be normal, but the power comes out in many different ways, and then you struggle to have those powers be true and clear. So if you're going to write some fiction, write some faction, and the faction bottom is most people who are psychic, intuitive, who see things, it's wide open as a child, and then we fight to be normal, and then we fight to have it back again. So if this person's going to be a witch, they can be a witch and not know they're a witch and fight being a witch, and then their witchiness comes out later on, and then they have situations where they have to be clear in their powers. So make it the story of most of the spiritual people I know. But it happened, it was there, we fought to be normal, then we fought to have it back. So that's where you need to start. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, do you have a question for Sandra tonight?
I tell you, you're so connected, Star. It's amazing. It's really great because Star knows exactly when we've gone through the call queue, and when I'm sitting here like a little child going, I have a question. Hey, Sandra, you kind of touched on this earlier, and you were discussing that lots of times you can put your hand on your heart chakra, and you can kind of connect and get the messages from that space. I find that most of my communication is really heavy as far as the amount of, not heavy as in low vibrating, but heavy as I'm very, very connected in my upper chakras. And I've had a lot of people tell me you got to get out of your head, you got to get more in your heart and kind of connect with, really connecting with energy at a different level than like at the higher levels. And I guess maybe you've already answered that question, and it seems like if you just kind of put your hand on your heart, you can kind of connect and get more of that energy in your heart as far as understanding, looking at a situation, reading into some intuition, giving guidance to somebody, that you can do it from the heart instead of from the upper levels of divine connection.
Right, because actually this this heart, I call it the heart metaphysician. If you send me an email, my email is sandra@mydivineblueprint.com. I'll send you a photo of the exact position, because it's not only our heart chakra. When your hand is in this position, you're actually tapping into all your meridians and your governing meridian, and it's kind of like you get a better signal going right up through to your higher self, okay, and your soul. So you're listening to things at all levels. And because it's fine for us to be up there in our head and be so spiritual, but, you know, I remember somebody saying something to me once in a seminar, which has been so useful, which was, be careful you're not so spiritual that you're no earthly good. You know, we have to be practical about things. And so by putting your hand here, you're connecting also to every cell in your body, your cellular consciousness. It gives us a lot of information. And it also assists us to be grounded. You're actually feeling your body instead of only being out there. You know, I was a person who was never grounded when I was a kid. I was always floating above my body. And it's about learning to bring that information into you. So what's also going to help you is instead of thinking or feeling, you know, I'm going out to get the information, stay here. Have the information come to you. And, you know, Star's thing of touching her toes, there's a, you know, a beautiful example and a very helpful example for all of us to, hey, we've got feet.
You know what I do, and it might be the little not so nice side of me, is I make my people who are in their head sit on their hand, and they will fight so hard for that to be comfortable, that they're going to push all of their energies down to because the hand will get uncomfortable, the body will get uncomfortable, that they will accidentally become grounded. So if you find you're way up in your head too much, sit on your hand, notice how uncomfortable your hand is, and then ask your energies to make that more comfortable. Then your body will be uncomfortable, and push the energies down to make your body comfortable. And you can get grounded just by sitting on your hand, which is very uncomfortable.
I think also there's
yeah?
I was going to say, I think it's also maybe a better way of explaining it in the way that I deal with intuition and helping people and everything is that I have a tendency to be more male energy, logical, you know, use of intuition versus a female creative natural flow of connecting with energy. And I consider that to be higher chakra kind of intuition, male logical versus heart-based female creative natural flow just connecting with emotion.
So, Mark, what is going to happen for you is there's something going wonderful, and it's called androgyny. And when you stop dividing things into male or female, emotional or grounded, you will have covered those areas, and you're going to be able to move on from there. I am very strong in leading workshops and doing male types of things. I'm very female in other things, and I don't look at it that way. what I look at it is some very strong androgynous energies. And look at your energies, feel your energies, look at yourself, look up androgyny. What is it? And it'll have a list of strong male traits and female traits. And the ideal is to have some of those traits of both male and female, to not separate yourself, your soul, into male and female, even though your body is there. Because as intuitive as you are, I still think that sometimes you have divine feminine energy, and sometimes you don't. Blend it.
Mm-hmm.
Blend it. This is an advanced piece of work, is blending that male and female to become soul. And it's, you know, we always want to be one thing or another, but usually we're everything. Usually we're all, or sometimes just basically I am. And that's years and years and years and years and years and decades of teaching to get there, but it's 1/4 second decision to be there. It's for you right now in your life. That becoming that androgynous soul is an answer to 144 questions.
Sounds good. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Star.
You're
welcome.
My pleasure. So we have a few more minutes left here, and I want everybody to know that we can reach Sandra Sweetman at www.mydivineblueprint.com. And, of course, everybody knows my website by heart, starfuentes.com. In our parting 8 or 9 minutes here, Sandra, what would you like to teach? What would you like to tell people?
Give me a moment here.
Okay.
I have a message coming through, and this is a message for all. Dear souls, you are listening to this because you are on your path. You are on your path of growth. You are on your path to greater happiness. You are on your path perhaps because you feel lost and unsure of where you are going. Can you take this moment right now to allow yourself to understand that this moment right now is where you are divinely placed to learn that you are your best is already inside you. To be your best is simply for you to allow yourself to express that beauty that you are. We see your beauty. We see your depth of understanding. Seek not outside for accolades, for recognition of this. Instead, allow yourselves to recognize from within. And if it is difficult, if it is unsure, can you allow simply this moment, 1 second of your own divinity? Yes, your beauty, reflecting the beauty of the cosmos, of the many universes. We thank you for listening.
Good. That was beautiful. Thank you for that. You know, I want to talk in these last couple of minutes about the energy that you consume, the energy that you use to believe in spirit. Well, it's the same energy you use to believe in yourself. I guess 50% of most people's path is to be at a space and place where you know spirit is there. You know you will handle things, where you no longer use any energy to believe in Source God, to believe in yourself. You no longer have thoughts about it. Once in a while, your discernment kicks in and you will have doubts or a change of direction, but you no longer consume energy believing in yourself, believing in the spirit, believing in light, believing in source. And it's a very powerful, dynamic place for you to be. You know your spirit. You know that you have enough experience, that you have enough tools, capabilities, abilities to handle whatever life will give you. There's no more worrying, because worry is prayer for something you don't want in your future. There's no more long hours of struggling with yourself to know that you are spirit. So the moment you no longer need to spend energy believing in yourself, the moment you no longer need to spend energy believing in source or energy believing in spirit, you're halfway there. You're halfway there. So pay attention. Pay attention how you anchor things that reinforce that you have problems. Pay attention how when you focus on things that life is good and things are great, how those things come to you. And pay attention that when you do nothing at all, how nothing comes to you, how everything that is meaningless, senseless, lacks power comes to you. The earth is a school of yes. It's a very big school of yes. And if you think there are no jobs, there are no jobs. And if you think you're doing wrong, the world says yes to that. And if you think and become powerful, the world will answer you with your own power. And when you start believing and don't need any energy to believe in spirit or believe in yourself, it becomes a very light and connected path. So, Sandra, besides being in Hong Kong, where else do you teach? So maybe
I teach essentially where people invite me to teach, which has taken me to Malaysia, various parts of the States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and so, yeah,
and
I
you
go
do,
where I'm invited,
you do,
where
do,
spirit calls me.
You do sessions by Skype, too, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do sessions by Skype. I also have a Sunday telecast series, which runs every other Sunday. It's called Sundays with Sandra, where we do something similar to this, and people can call in with their questions, and that information is on my website as well. Thanks.
Wow, it's been really nice having you, Sandra. And people, look, you need confirmation on your path. You need to talk to a person. You need for somebody to point out things to you that your own mind can't see. I know for myself, I go and get readings with some of my students who are now masters. And when I get sick or my husband gets sick, I have other healers work on me. I know that I am so good at seeing everybody else's stuff, but my own stuff, well, maybe just a little glimpse of it. So participate in this world in a spiritual way. Educate yourself about everything. Read books, go to seminars, listen. And most importantly, look deeply and profoundly inside of yourself. Listen to your intuition. Get confirmation. And become the true spiritual being that you are. You can catch me on StageIt, which is a video production on the Internet. You can catch me on this radio show, Stargazing, on Blog Talk Radio. You can catch me at Patreon, where you can become my patron. I am in a lot of spaces and places. Look up my name. You can find me. And I can play and work with you. Sandra is willing to play and work with you from Hong Kong to any place in the world. Thank you.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.